Okay, so I'm going to start the song and then they'll back me up. It's not one of their songs that they know. It's actually my song that the Lord gave me this morning. You know, so I had to record it so I could remember it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for your love and grace. Thank you, Lord, we are so grateful. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The praise team may be seated also. Thank you. We are going to be talking today about giving thanks to God with a grateful heart. Amen. Amen. Giving thanks unto God with a grateful heart. Now that is something that we don't do enough of. And I have searched the scriptures. The subject of giving thanks to God is probably the most written about topic in this whole Bible. All over the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, we are commanded from time to time, give thanks unto the Lord. And the psalmist, one of those people that knew how to do it like more than anybody else, he would write about giving thanks. And we're going to read some of the exhortations that the psalmist gave. And even in the New Testament, the exhortations that the apostles gave. How we should give thanks in everything. How we should even make our requests unto God with joy. You know, how we should, you know, say in everything we do, we should do all the glory of God, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. I mean, the scripture is just full of it. I have about 100 scriptures to read, verses, even more, that talk about giving thanks unto God. But on account of the time, I will just abbreviate it. I'm going to just read a couple of psalms and then say some things from the heart. And I want this to be a message that's from the heart. You know, I'm just going to say it to you from the heart so that you praise the Lord and give thanks. Amen. Amen, folks. Be a little bit of preaching, but a lot more of just saying it to you. Now, I'm going to start here in the book of Psalms. I mean, I have about 50-something Psalms that I could choose from that deal with this. But I will just choose from a few, maybe two, at most three. Just so that we can keep it brief. Because I want us to spend time to give thanks, personal thanks unto the Lord. So let me start in Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." Amen, folks? Let's think about that for a minute. What does it mean to make known his deeds among the people? A sister just came out here and made known the deeds of the Lord. How that when she was sick for almost 2 years, the Lord delivered her. Praise the Lord. That is giving thanks unto the Lord. Making known his deeds among the people. It's not just about what God did for somebody else. I'm talking about what God did for you. What he has done for you. I mean, we can shout the praise of the Lord, you know, when we see the blind are healed, the crippled are raised, and so on and so forth. I mean, we see that, you know, and when we see miracles and so forth, we can shout. But I'm talking about what God has done for you in your life. Praise the Lord. So, sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. I mean, are you always talking about his wondrous works? Nobody could shut this guy up. He was always talking about the goodness of the Lord. Even when he faced the battle against Goliath, he was still talking about the goodness of the Lord. He said, look, God already did this for me, and God did the other thing, and God will now do this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give glory unto his name. You know, he said, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And he began to say many other things about giving thanks unto the Lord. And he began to recount all the good things in this whole chapter, all the good things that God did for his people. He began to talk about all the things they did and so forth. And he began to praise the Lord for all those things. Now I'm going to fast forward to Psalm 106. And I'm going to start Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Come on, somebody. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for what? For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Now, look at all the things. You know how you can praise the Lord. He begins to say, look, who can utter all the mighty acts of the Lord? You know, who can show forth all his praise? You can't show all his praise, but you can show some. Some of the things that he's done in your life. You know, say, and he begin to talk about all the goodness of the Lord over and over and over again. You know, and I want to challenge us today. You know, some of the testimonies that we read in this Bible. In fact, there is nothing that you can read in this Bible that is not older than your life. Amen? Are you following me? All the miracles that Jesus did, that was 2,000 years ago. But we are still shouting the praise of the Lord about them today. Even the things that God did at the Red Sea, they were 4,000 years ago. We're still shouting about them today. Every time we read them in the Bible, we still shout the praise of the Lord. You know, how much more the things that God did for you from the time that you were born. The oldest person that is sitting in this room today is not even 80 years old or 90 years old. And that means only 80 years. We can call to remembrance. And I began to remember even when I was a little kid, even when I was in my mother's womb. I didn't know about it, but my dad told me later on when I was a grown man, you know, and so forth. And I began to praise the Lord when I remember those things. I remember when I was a young man, I had an accident that could have blinded me. That's one of the reasons why I'm using glasses. But I'm not blind. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things that God has taken us through. So let's begin to thank God and bring it home to your life. You know, when we say praise the Lord for his goodness, don't just think about some miracle that he did and some Red Sea that he broke open and so forth. Well, it's wonderful. But think about what he did for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, that's what we want to do. We want to take time to thank him for what he has done for every one of us. And you can read all of that psalm and talk about every time that even they sinned against the Lord. The Lord might give them up to some challenges and some hard times. But every time they called upon the name of the Lord again, he would remember his mercy towards them. And he would forgive them. And he would return unto them, you know, and so forth. And the psalm went on to say all the wondrous works of the Lord and everything and how they did this, how he rebuked the Red Sea. You know, all these things that I mentioned is in this chapter. You know, he rebuked the Red Sea on their behalf. He rebuked kings. He did all these things. That's wonderful, the things he did. But let's write our own psalms today. Amen? Amen, people? I mean, these psalms are wonderful, but I wasn't there. You know, but I am here in my life for the last 62 years. I can write all the good things that the Lord has done in my life. Praise the Lord. And you should be able to write the good things that the Lord has done for you. You know? So, look at Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Amen, people? For his mercy does what? His mercy endureth forever. That's one of the greatest ways that you can bless the name of the Lord, is to say to the Lord, I give you thanks because you are good, because your mercy endureth forever. The reason we are sitting in this room today is because of his mercy that endureth forever. I had a different message that I wanted to preach today. You know, maybe by the grace of God, if he wants it, maybe I'll preach it next week. I don't know. But today, it's just about giving thanks to God with a grateful heart.
Praise the Lord.
And in this Psalm 107, the psalmist began to say so many things that we should be thankful for. How he led them through so many things and all the things that he did for them.
You know, these three psalms that I've been reading, that I've mentioned, they did the same thing.
But in this particular Psalm 107, this man lamented over the fact that people do not praise the Lord enough. And in this psalm, about four different times in this psalm, he said the same thing. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Praise the Lord.
He said that in verse 8. He said it in verses 15 and 16. He said it again in verse 31.
I mean, he just kept saying it and saying it. After he would recount some of the goodnesses of the Lord, then he would come back and say, oh, that man would praise the Lord. And we sing a chorus from that, actually. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. We sing a chorus from that. And why should we praise the Lord? He said, look, because he has broken, hallelujah, he has broken the gates of brass. And he has cut asunder the bars of iron. The things that are holding you back, God has burst them wide open. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, if you are thankful for, I mean, just take a look at it. You know, I can tell you, you know, I mean, the Lord that brought me and my family here 30-something years. My son was only 5 months old when we came from Nigeria. He's a grown man now. He has a family of his own. And I can look back to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise the Lord.
I can look back now and see how God has increased me. You know, many years ago, I was just a young man. I'm still a young man, but, you know, I didn't have a wife. I didn't have kids. Now I have a wife. I have kids. I have grandkids. Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord. And the Lord said, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. In Psalm 115, he said that. And I've seen that happening.
You know, so, one of the best times that I have with the Lord, personally, for me, is when I do some reflection over all the things. And, you know, this last few days, in fasting and different things, and I would go out for a walk and so forth, and I would just be reflecting. And I remembered so many things that the Lord, and when I was doing it, that's when the Lord began to put it in my mind to actually do this today. I was going to do something else. And I was remembering so many major events in my life. You know, great things that God has done. And I was just giving him praise. Hallelujah. And I, you know, all over my life. You know, and this is like not only a personal tribute. One time I came out here and preached, you know, my tribute to the Lord, you know, and so forth. This is not only a personal tribute, this is a tribute that I want all of us to give to the Lord. Let's all join together today in praising the Lord. But more importantly, I want to phrase it as giving thanks unto the Lord. You know, because, you know, when we are praising the Lord, people are just shouting and so forth like that. They don't really connect sometimes. I want you to connect in being thankful for what God has done in your life. Because there were 10 lepers that were healed. And you all know the story. And after they were healed, Jesus just told them, he didn't actually heal them right away. He just told them something to do. And you've heard over and over again that you have to obey instructions in order to get your healing. He told them something to do. You go and do this. But as they were going, they were healed. Their flesh came back fresh. And they saw and said, my goodness, we are healed. And they were jumping. You know, that they were healed. They were saying, yes, yes, yes.
But only one of them said, it's not just yes. It's not just yes. He went back. And he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And he fell down at the feet of Jesus and worshipped him.
I said, thank you, Lord. And Jesus said, were there not 10
that were healed? Where is the nine? And I read a story on the internet. There was a TV show many years ago. It was a true story. But there was a TV show many years ago. And then the host, and I was thinking of doing, maybe I'd do something like that too. That's Anna. But the host, he was going to pass out some candy, box of candy or whatever. You know, so what he did was this. He already told the crew, the television crew, that, you know, what to do. But nobody else in the crowd knew. So he was there, and he just started passing out, you know, this goodies, the gifts that were wrapped. And he passed out one, and two, and three, and four, and five, and six. By the time he goes to number eight or so, the young girl said, thank you. But he had passed out like seven or eight or nine before anybody said thank you. They just took it. But he had already instructed the crew that were there that every one of those that say thank you, you know, give them a $500 check. It's a true story. You know. And they were just noting, and he was just noting what was happening, and he just went like that. And Jesus did exactly similar, the same thing. In fact, he told the one that returned. He didn't say this to every one of those 10 people. I want you to read the story, but I don't want to read the story today. I don't want to do too much preaching. I'll just tell you the story. He told them to go, and they were healed, and they came back. But then he told this one that came back that thou art made every whit whole. Every whit whole. And the other people were not made every whit whole. Oh, no. You know, this man was not only cleansed of his leprosy. He was cleansed of everything else. Because Jesus said, you are made every whit whole. Everything. So it could have been, well, leprosy was their biggest problem then because they were outcasts. But there could have been other things. And this man's system was cleansed. This man became like fresh because he came back and gave thanks to the Lord. God has done so many things for every one of us that is sitting here today. But how many of us really come back and give thanks to the Lord? I'm not talking about shouting. You may shout if you want. But I'm talking about giving thanks to God with a grateful heart. Some people say having an attitude of gratitude because it rhymes and it sounds well. You know, but do we give thanks to God with a grateful heart? You know, in America, wonderful land that it is, but there was a man called Charles Dickens many years ago. He said something about the Thanksgiving holiday. He said, America is messed up. Why? He said, because they have one day of Thanksgiving in the whole year, and they have 364 days of complaining and griping and so on. And he said, we ought to have 364 days of Thanksgiving, and then one day only just to complain about something. Praise the Lord. But, you know, most people don't even think about it until November, the third week. Some Thursday in November that people think about the Thanksgiving. And then when it's really Thanksgiving, it's all about the turkey, and it's about the this, and it's about the that. And it's not even about Thanksgiving to God at all. It's just about some tradition. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about every moment and every day. In fact, before the day is over, we need to take a little time and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. And say, Lord, I thank. And I learned this from being a young man growing up. You know, my dad, every time he came back from work, if you greeted him, he didn't even answer. He just went straight to his room. And he knelt down. And he gave thanks. And then after that, then he could greet everybody. And he did that, you know. And I began to pick up on some of that. And I love to just give thanks. You know, go out, come back, give thanks. You know, look at what God has done for your life. And I begin to think of all the good things that God has done for me. You know, I myself, that I'm standing here, I'm a living miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. In 2001, you know, I was sick with valley fever and all of that. You've heard the story. But I'm not tired of telling the story because of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. It's not a one-time thing that I just say, oh, well, I thanked the Lord yesterday about it and that's it. No, I can tell it and I can tell it and I can tell it. Hallelujah. Because my wife is not a widow. And my kids are not fatherless. Hallelujah. I was in hospital. I was there. Many of the older people that were here came to visit me and stuff. And a family, my wife told me this later. I wasn't there. They were sitting in the lounge or whatever. And another family came in and brought some. They were crying because somebody died that they brought to the hospital. And what was it that he came in for? Foot surgery. Hello? Foot surgery, and he died. And I was there. They opened up my chest. Lung surgery, and I lived. Hallelujah. And for those of you who are younger, who didn't know me back then, unless I was telling you, you wouldn't even know it. Because I'm just as fit today as I was, perhaps even fitter today. So I got to praise the name of the Lord. Amen. And not only me, my wife also, she was attacked by a deadly disease in 1998. And we thought we were going to lose her. But I'm not a widower today. And my kids are not motherless. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then so many miracles that God has done in my family and so forth like that. And we ought to praise the Lord. A few weeks ago, on my job, well, some of you don't know. One time somebody asked me, what do you actually do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Somebody in this church. I said, well, you do anything else? I said, well, I'm a pastor. So I just left it like that, you know. But I do have some other job that I do. So anyway, on that job, you know, one guy that I was working with and so forth, just a couple of weeks, just early part of this year. And I work from home, so I don't work with them all the time, but I had a chance. Last year in June or sometime, I went over there for just about a week at the start of the contract. I'm a consultant. And then so I just walk with them on the phone and at home and so forth. But, I talk to this guy all the time. Well, so one day he tells, he writes and says, well, he checked himself to the hospital. He's been having some foot problem, foot infection, he called it. Toe infection, actually what he called it. So he went to the hospital for foot surgery. And nobody thought anything about it. And he went in, and they finished the surgery, and the day that he was discharged, he died. Hello? Many of you have had foot infections, and you are still living. People have died from sicknesses and diseases, or crippled from sickness and disease that you have had, and you are alive, and you are still bouncing. You ought to thank the Lord. Some people have died from even sicknesses that are less serious than the ones that some of us have been challenged with. But you are alive. We ought to praise the Lord. Some of you have been in ghastly accidents, and God pulled you out, and you are here today. Some people have been in lesser accidents that died. Give thanks to God with a grateful heart. I remember, I think it was 1982 or whatever, but just before we came to Nigeria. So I lived in Lagos, and we had this camp meeting in Zuru, somewhere in the north, and Sokoto State, and we were coming back. 7-day meeting and everything. We were going night vigil after night vigil every day. We would have meeting in the night. Then in the afternoon, we'll go out and preach, crusade. And then we'll come back in that. So nobody was actually sleeping because we're just going like that, And then because of sleeplessness, when we were coming back, we were involved in a ghastly accident. Because the driver, in fact, I remember telling him the night vigil of the night before we were going to travel, and I said, bro, you need to go and sleep.
And he said, ah, brother, whatever, you know, I'm fine. And I told him a few times that he needed to go and sleep. And he said, he's fine. I said, all right, you know. And then when we were coming, and I was trying so hard not to sleep, you know. And he would be sleeping, turn on the music, do whatever. Anyway, cut a long story short, he slept off, everybody slept off. I woke up when the car was tumbling several times. We were just tumbling. This was a Peugeot 504, and you guys from Nigeria might remember that that vehicle was never safe. And it didn't have as good stability because it was a little bit high from. And it was a new car that he had, just bought the car. And we were tumbling, you know. And we ended up in the bush somewhere with four wheels up, everybody hanging upside down. By the time I came out of the thing, I had one shoe on my leg. The other one was gone somewhere. I didn't know where it was. I had this deep cut here. Blood was gushing out like a tap. People were trapped inside the car. You know, we couldn't get them out. I couldn't open my seatbelt. And I was struggling with it. The guy in the front, he helped me open it. Yes, we did use seatbelts during that time. Actually, I was the one that made them use seatbelts, because what happened was when we were going for that trip, we were actually stopped just outside Lagos, stopped to rescue some people that were just in a ghastly accident on our way to the trip. And one of them was thrown out of the windshield. And we were there on the street, you know, blood everywhere, and we were just trying to help them and so forth, pray for them and do some stuff, you know. And then when we were coming back, I remembered that. And I said, look, everybody put on your seatbelt. You know, people didn't used to wear a seatbelt in 1982 in Nigeria. But I said, everybody put on your seatbelt, you know. And that seatbelt prevented us from being thrown out of the windshield that day. But I was trapped in the seatbelt. It wouldn't open. He was trapped. Wouldn't open. He managed to open his, and then he unstrapped me. He climbed out the windshield. I climbed out the window. The three people that were in the back, they were in pretty bad shape. They were trapped. You know, we were trying to get them out. We couldn't. The villagers started running to come. And then the story that I wanted to say about it was that when I said people die from lesser things, the villagers said that for some reason, a lot of accidents happened in that place. And just a few days before, that one accident, in fact, when they saw our car tumbling, they said everybody was dead. Because there was an accident that happened around that same place just a few days before. It was a very minor accident. It wasn't even that serious. They didn't roll or like that. We were rolling. They were all dead. So when the villagers were coming, they were just coming to gather the corpses or whatever. You know. But we came out alive. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We came out alive. You know. My goodness. That was probably the worst. Well, that's actually the only one that I've been in. You know. But it was horrible. And a few days later, I was sitting in my house, and the Lord showed me a trance. You know, I'm not giving to trances, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 times in my year. You know, God speaks to me some other ways. But I saw this trance, and I just fell into it, and I saw the whole thing replay again, and then I saw how I got that gush. I have this big scar here, and the thing was just gushing out. I lost so much blood that day, I could have just passed out or died from the blood loss alone. But I am still here. Praise the Lord. Many of you may remember similar testimonies in your life. You know, I've heard testimony from Sister Agnes. One time she said her car was rolling backwards from a deep slope and ended up in the ditch. How she did that, I don't know. But she's here today. Praise the Lord. Many, many, many of us have been through so many things, you know, that God will save you from. It may not be as dramatic as that. It could be even little things. I remember many years when I was traveling, I used to go into the snow states and very things like that. Folks, I have had my share of snow, and I don't miss it. Praise the Lord. I was digging my car out from snow one day, my pants ripped, and I was going to go to work. I just went back into my hotel room or my apartment room. I have hit an icy sleet or whatever they call that thing in the road One time, a few years ago, we were in the building that was at Greenway when we started GMI. And I traveled some month in October. I went to Denver, Colorado. Horrible time there. I don't travel all the time anymore on my job. I quit that. But occasionally they said, come to the side. So I went. And horrible. I couldn't see any snow everywhere. Ice. I mean, snow is all right sometimes. But ice, my goodness. There was ice, sleet, everything on the road. And I was on the bridge. And I hit this one thing. And my car was just going all over the place. You know. But I just kept saying, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Remember that name, folks. When you shout that name, the Bible says, it shall come to pass that everyone that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the thing was rolling, you know, and the Lord just calmed me down. Because you slam on the brakes too hard, you tumble and you off that bridge. You know, I just, you know, calm down a little bit and so forth. The Lord, I don't know what happened, but God brought that thing back to a calm, you know. And I think when I finished, I don't know, I was facing the wrong direction or something, you know. But I didn't end up, the ditch was right there. I could have ended up in that ditch. Praise the Lord. But I did not. So I give thanks to the Lord. Amen. But there's a young sister here, she told me a story. She was coming into Arizona. And she had a similar experience. She hit the ditch, something, and went off the thing or so, the road. The Lord saved her. And she's alive and well today. Praise the Lord. I could go on and on. You know, I'm just saying some things from the heart for myself. Now you begin to examine your heart and see what the Lord has done for you. Because in a few minutes, I am going to ask us to come and give thanks unto God. Today is not so much about preaching. I just wanted to say it from the heart. We need to give thanks to the Lord. And then look at me. Praise the Lord. I'm a pastor. This is the greatest thing that God could have done for me in my life. Amen? You've heard me say it before. It is the greatest job in the world to be a pastor. The best job. Because people are putting their lives in your hand. And I don't trifle with it at all. Amen? You know, and I said, Lord, and I was walking and I was thinking, God, I said, I don't know, you know. But it is the mercy of God. And I thank God for these things. You know, I don't think, you know, it's because I am this or that. No, it's just because the Lord said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And you can read it all in the book of Romans chapter 9. Read it from verses 15 and so forth. And so then it is not of him that willeth. It is not even of him that runneth. We should will, we should run. But it is of God that showeth mercy. And God has showed mercy to my household. Has God showed mercy to your household? Are you here today to give thanks to God with a grateful heart? Now, you young folks, listen to me. You are not exempt from this. Because sometimes the young children come to church and they think that the message that is being preached is just for the adults. And they don't pay attention. They're just cutting up and doing things and so forth like that. Pay attention, you young folks. Otherwise, I'll call your name one by one. You need to give thanks with a grateful heart that you have parents today, and you are not orphans. Not only that you have parents, that you have godly parents. There's something to give thanks for. The people that you are living in a home where they bring you to, even if they have to drag you, that they bring you to church. It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. So you ought to give thanks. You have the good things of life. And some of us who are older that are sitting here, I challenge every single person that is sitting here today. Your life is better today. Praise the Lord. That's right. Because God has been good to you.
God has been good to you. I remember I told you that many years ago, I didn't even have a wife. I didn't even have a house in Nigeria. I came to the USA. I'm blessed with house. I'm blessed with everything. God is good. Amen. I mean, I have been in this country, I don't know for how long, 30-something years. I give thanks with a grateful heart. There has not been one day that my payment for electricity or water or this or that, whatever, was not paid. Praise the Lord. There was a period of time I went to school for 2.5 years when I went back for my master's. I wasn't working. There wasn't anything coming in and so forth like that. My mortgage payment was placed on automatic payment. And it was paid every single time. Praise the Lord. Today, by the grace of God, I'm not preaching about myself. I'm just speaking from the heart. Today, by the grace of God, I am debt free. When I first came into this country, and my pastor then, Neil Frisbee, remember his name, he used to tell us, stay away from debt. Now, the people that listened, they did themselves a world of good. The people that didn't listen, they got into some problems some years back. Well, I listened for a while, but I didn't listen too good. I got into debt. And it was debt that I was trying to do to take care of my family and so forth, not personal stuff. But I got so much debt. You know, so finally, one day, the Lord told me. And I pray, no, I actually told him, I said, Lord, help me out of debt. And the Lord said, well, I will help you, but you have to get out of debt. And I'm like, I just told you to help me. Are you telling me that I have to get out of debt? And the Lord said, yes, I will help you, but you have to get out of debt. And I said, Lord, I don't know, just help me. And I got up in the middle of the night. I picked out my credit cards. I had several of them. I took the scissors, cut them up. My wife was looking. You know, she started laughing. Some day later, I don't think it was that same day. Maybe a day or so later, she remembered that. I mean, I was actually literally fighting with the credit cards. And then she was laughing so hilariously, she fell up, rolled up from the bed. I've told her this story. She didn't quite remember it. She was laughing, laughing, laughing. She rolled up from the bed, you know. And I started laughing because she was laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing about? And she couldn't tell me because she was just laughing. Laugh, 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 laugh. Okay, finally, enough already. Tell me what you're laughing about. So she remembered how I was fighting with the credit cards. And I took a scissors and I said, if you knew what I knew, you know. So, you know, but the Lord said, you stay out of debt and I'll help you. And I said, well, you got to help me to get out of debt in order to stay out of debt. And I made a pledge to the Lord. I was going to stay out of debt. And by the grace and mercy of God, he has helped me to keep that pledge. Amen. Amen. He has kept me out of debt. Now, you young folks, don't go into debt. You hear it from me today. It may look rosy at first, but what are you going to do if they take away your bed? That's what the proverb says. You know, don't strike hands with this and don't be shorty for anything. Don't do all of that stuff. You know, you trust in the Lord. Amen. You wait patiently for the Lord. Don't worry about what the Joneses are doing. You wait patiently for the Lord and he'll take care of business for you. So I have reason to praise the Lord. And then look at GMI. We started GMI. Fightings within, wars without, whatever. Some of you may know this story. I don't want to go into all of that. You know. But it is an integral part of my life. That's why I'm saying it. It's not to say it to be anything. I can't tell the story of my life without putting GMI inside of it. How many of you know that's true? Praise the Lord. Because that's all I do now. In fact, when people who don't know me ask me what I do, I just tell them I'm a pastor. I don't even tell them about my computer skills. It's hardly. But that's what I do now. Praise the Lord. And I love it because God put it in my hands to do. And look at what God has done for us at GMI. We ought to be thankful. Praise the Lord. The congregation is no bigger than it is right now. But we are not always going to be this size. Amen. But look at the great thing that God has done for us in this place. And even bringing us to this place. This building is 8 times bigger than the place we were before. In case you don't know it, the place we were before is 3,000 square feet. This place is over 24,000 square feet. And how did we do it? All of you who are sitting down here. That's how we did it. Praise the Lord. We didn't have the backing of any huge organization or anything like that. Why is it important? Well, the things that God has, just like David, you have to remember when you went up against the lion. You have to also remember when you went up against the bear, when you are facing Goliath. So that's why I'm being thankful for all these things, because we have a proverb in the Yoruba language that says, if you are thankful for something that somebody did for you yesterday, you will get today's gift. Amen. Amen, folks. That's how we say it in Yoruba. You know, if you are thankful for yesterday, you will get something today. So if you are thankful for what God has done, I've just opened my heart and thanked the Lord for so many things. Now it's all of our turn. Let's stand to our feet. I want everybody in this place, begin to, there should not be a silent soul in this place. I don't care if you are 4 years old, 5 years old, or 85 years old. It doesn't matter what age you are. Give thanks unto God with a grateful heart. Give thanks for what God has done for you. People have died from lesser sicknesses than the one that the Lord put you from. You had nothing a few years. Some of you should be in jail today. But you are here. Praise the Lord. You had nothing going for you. But God has made you somebody. Hallelujah. Give thanks with a grateful heart. All over this place, I want people to lift up your hands and begin to come to pray. I want the praise team to come and sing, give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks. He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the say, I am strong. Thank you.
I want all the
people who are in this building, all the young people, I want you to come forward. All the young folks that still have parents, come forward. Come forward. Line up here in front of me. I want to hear you give thanks to God. All you young folks all over this building, lift up your hands and give thanks for a good life that you have. You are not on the streets. You are not homeless. You have a lot of food to eat. Sometimes you waste food. And most of the time you complain. I don't have this, I don't have that, and so forth. Stop complaining about what you don't have and start giving thanks for what you do have. I want all of you begin to give thanks. And you parents that are in the back, stretch your hands forward towards your children and begin to give thanks on their behalf and for them. And then give thanks for yourself, for God blessing you with these wonderful children. Your children are not on drugs. They are not in prison. They are not dead. And you are not going to bury your children. Amen. Let's give thanks. Hallelujah. All over this place, give thanks. My father, when he was alive, he had like 4 or 5 generations. And he blessed me in the name of the Lord before he passed away. And I said, Lord, if you tarry, I'm going to have 5 or 6 or 7 generations. Amen. Amen. But it's all by the mercy of God. Today already I have 3 generations. And I am thankful. And there are some of you here that have more than 3 generations. Some of the older women in our midst. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Sometimes you are faced with sickness or challenge or this. And then you forget all the other things that God has done. Give thanks today. We will be breaking bread in a few minutes. But before we do that, I want you to sing that my song again that we sang at the beginning, the Thank You Jesus song. I don't even remember what it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wilson, you can come back to the stage. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you grateful to the Lord today? Praise the Lord. I want you to go back to your seats and still remain in an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. And we're going to have Holy Communion. And as we break bread, remember thank him for his sacrifice. You can bring the bread. We're going to a communion service. I want to ask every one of us that are here today, especially parents. Now, how many parents do we have in the house? Let me see your hands up. Come on. If you are a parent, put your hand up. How many of you parents would give your son for somebody else's problems? Somebody committed a crime and they are sentenced to death. And you would offer your own son in their place. Let me see your hands up. I don't see any hands up. So we ought to be thankful to God for his sacrifice. For God so loved the world. I would not have done it. And neither would you. And he gave his only begotten son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for giving up Jesus Christ, the only begotten, to die for our sins. And he died, the Bible says, because of our sins. In the book of Romans 4 and 25, because of our sins, he died. But he rose up for our justification. And if you are justified in the name of the Lord, you can say hallelujah. Oh, that hallelujah was too weak. If you are justified in the name of the Lord, you can say hallelujah. For those of you that are not justified, there is still room at the cross. You are not justified until God has washed away your sins. Because he put them all on Jesus Christ. And when you confess your sins, God is able to turn your life around. And he's able to give you the power of a new life. To them that received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. And if you are in this room today, what we are about to do reminds us of the greatest sacrifice the world has ever seen or will ever see. And when he hung upon the cross, they spat on him and they did everything before they put him there, and they mocked him. They mocked him.
And even one of the thieves that were crucified next to him mocked him as well. But Jesus already said it. He said, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself." And they mocked him. And even that devil whispered unto him then, "If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross." See, the devil, he wants you to come down from the cross. Every day that you forget and you let your tongue run amok, you are coming down from the cross. Stay crucified with Christ. They told him, "Come down from the cross if you be the Son of God." Stay on the cross. Don't let that deadly tongue, that deadly poison, don't let it send you into a hell of fire. Stay on the cross. Every time the devil wants you to gossip, and you little children, all those demonic games that you are playing on TV and on your iPod and all of those things, that's the devil trying to send you to hell. You need to be listening to gospel. Amen. I don't have any amen for the kids. And you parents, don't let your kids play those things. They are full of demonic spirits. We need to stay crucified with Christ. Don't follow the ways of the world. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. And because he lives, I shall live also." Today, are you crucified with Christ as you take this? Now, if you're not ready to be crucified with Christ, don't even bother to take this bread. Because the Bible says when you don't discern the body of Christ, that's why many people are sleeping. Many people are dead. Many people are sickly. Because they don't stay crucified with Christ. And part of being crucified with Christ means love your brethren. The Bible says Jesus having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And that the scripture might be fulfilled that, you know, "All that you have given me, I have lost none of them." Even he told the people that came to arrest him, "I'm the one you came for, let these ones go." He loved them unto the end. And looking at his mother on the cross, and looking at John the disciple, he loved them unto the end. And he said, "Mother, behold your son. You take care of that boy. And you, young man, you take care of your mother." Even on the cross. If you have any ought against any today, forgive. As you come to this table, you cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of devils, folks. And I just told you some of the tables of devils, some of those things you watch on television, they are devils. Some of those games you play, those video games, they are devils. But come freely as you are and be cleansed today. And then thank him for everything that he has done in your life.